Imagine trying to protect a child online, right? And the government's brilliant solution is to force you to upload their passport to a massive, highly hackable, completely centralized database. I mean, it sounds like a complete paradox.
It's a total security nightmare.
Exactly. But as of this week, that is the exact blueprint four different governments across the globe are pushing for when it comes to conversational artificial intelligence.
It is. It's a remarkable synchronization, really. And it brings up this, frankly, terrifying contradiction for anyone who is, you know, actually building in this space. Because we're looking at simultaneous legislative and legal moves in Washington, Brussels, Atlanta, and Denver.
And that is exactly the mission for our deep dive today. We're taking the stack of notes you've shared with us, covering all these, well, seemingly disconnected jurisdictions, to uncover a massive hidden pattern.
Yeah, because when you lay these developments side by side, a really startling picture emerges.
Right. Everyone finally agrees on what the architecture for AI should look like. But absolutely nobody wants to write the check to build it.
No. And that is the defining tension of this moment. I mean, the mandate is the easy half of the sentence. The cost is the half that gets left off. Lawmakers are demanding a complete restructuring of how these platforms operate, but the funding is just, it's entirely absent from the conversation.
Okay, let's unpack this, starting right in Washington, D.C. with the GGUARD Act.
Right, S-3062.
Yeah, Senate Bill 3062. Mm-hmm. And it just cleared the Senate Judiciary Committee on a unanimous voice vote, which is wild, just sitting there now waiting for a floor vote. And when you look at the actual engineering demands this bill places on AI operators, it's not just a set of loose guidelines. It is a highly specific, staggering technical blueprint.
Yeah, staggering is putting it mildly. I mean, the GGUARD Act is essentially the government handing a mandatory multi-million dollar architectural schematic to every single conversational AI service in the United States.
Which is huge.
It's massive. First, it requires mandatory age verification for every single user. Second, it demands recurring disclosures.
Meaning what exactly?
Meaning the bot has to constantly explicitly remind you that it is not human and that it holds no professional license in medicine, law, therapy, or finance.
Wow.
Right. And third, it mandates the building of comprehensive crisis protocols. And these are specifically triggered when a user signals self-harm or, you know, solicits sexual content from a minor.
Let's stop on that first one for a second, because I really don't think people realize the technical reality of mandatory age verification.
No, they don't.
We aren't talking about a pop-up box that asks, like, are you 18 and lets you click yes.
Yeah.
Under these new frameworks, age verification at a national scale means wiring an identity checking system into every single account. You are forcing platforms to demand a government ID, a passport, or some commercially reasonable equivalent from every single user.
Which is incredibly invasive.
Right. Which brings up a huge point of friction in these notes. The Electronic Frontier Foundation, the EFF, is pushing back hard on this, and their argument is just a massive paradox.
Yes. The EFF has correctly identified the catastrophic security risk hiding inside the safety mandate.
It's like ordering a massive, expensive home renovation, but conveniently walking away before the contractor hands over the estimate. But even worse, on the security side, it's like trying to stop bank robberies by forcing everyone in town to store their life savings in one giant transparent glass vault in the middle of the town square.
Exactly.
Sure, it's all in one place, but you've just created the ultimate target for a heist. To protect kids online, the government is forcing AI companies to demand government IDs.
Mm.
But aren't we just creating a giant new honeypot of children's identities just waiting for hackers to breach?
It absolutely does. And this is where we have to look at the how and the why of the technology. Universal age verification requires identity databases.
Mm.
So if a company wants to avoid building a highly vulnerable honeypot of plain text IDs, they have to use advanced cryptographic solutions. They have to build things like zero-knowledge proofs.
Which sounds complicated.
It is. It essentially allows a system to verify that you are over 18 without ever actually storing your specific birthday or your ID number.
But building zero-knowledge proof architecture isn't exactly cheap.
No, it is astronomically expensive. You are talking about hiring specialized cryptographers, maintaining secure server infrastructure, and paying third-party identity verification vendors for millions of API calls. You are trying to protect children, which is great, but the operational cost of securing that new data stream is massive. And just like the engineering build for the crisis escalation teams, it is completely unscored by the government.
This is the part that blows my mind. The GUARD Act delegates enforcement to the U.S. Attorney General and to all 50 state AGs. They can hit companies with penalties up to $250,000 per violation.
Per violation, yes.
But the bill appropriates $0. The government isn't giving a single cent to the companies to build the tech, and they aren't giving a single cent to the state attorneys general to enforce it.
Zero funding.
Wait, hold on. You're telling me Congress can demand a multi-million dollar tech infrastructure, threaten a $250,000 fine per violation, but because they didn't attach any funding, it just magically bypasses the rules? I thought there was literally a law against the federal government forcing massive costs onto the private sector without paying for it.
You're thinking of the Unfunded Mandates Reform Act, or UMRA, and, well, you are correct in theory.
Right.
Generally, if a bill forces the private sector to spend over a certain threshold, I think currently it's about $206 million a year with no federal money behind it, it triggers the unfunded mandate label.
Right, which sounds bad.
It is. It becomes a massive political hurdle to pass. But lawmakers are exploiting a procedural loophole here.
A loophole, of course.
The label is only triggered once the Congressional Budget Office, the CBO, actually publishes a cost score. Now, even though the Judiciary Committee reported the GUARD Act out on April 30th, the CBO hasn't published a cost estimate yet.
Oh, wow.
So technically, procedurally, it avoids the dreaded unfunded mandate label entirely. They get to stand at a podium and announce they are protecting kids without the political pain of budgeting for it.
Or admitting how much it will raise costs for everyday businesses.
Exactly.
So Washington is busy dodging the check by exploiting procedural loopholes. But you can't dodge a bill when a judge hands it to you. That brings us to the actual bleeding edge of financial risk. The costs of AI running wild are already hitting the real world, and it naturally shifts our focus to the courtroom.
Yeah, the litigation is where it gets very real, very fast.
Let's look at this bizarre situation happening right now in Chicago with Nippon Life Insurance.
The Nippon Life case is a perfect illustration of the financial bleeding happening on the ground, regardless of what Congress does. So a former claimant of Nippon Life used ChatGPT to draft and file dozens of post-settlement legal motions against the insurer.
And it wasn't just, like, poorly written legal motions. The AI literally hallucinated. It cited a legal case that does not exist anywhere in American jurisprudence.
Made it up entirely.
Right. And we need to explain why that happens, too. It's not pulling from a database of truth. It's an algorithmic prediction engine guessing the most likely next word. So it just confidently invented a legal precedent.
Exactly. And because of this flood of AI-generated hallucinatory legal paperwork, Nippon Life had to spend roughly $300,000 just defending themselves against it.
$300,000?
Yeah. Because human lawyers had to sit there, bill hours, and manually verify and refute fake citations. So Nippon Life is suing OpenAI in federal court. They are claiming tortious interference, abuse of process, and essentially accusing the chatbot of the unauthorized practice of law.
$300,000 evaporated because someone let a chatbot play lawyer? I mean, that is a very real, very immediate cost. How is OpenAI even defending against a claim like that?
Well, OpenAI's defense strategy is entirely built around the concept that ChatGPT is merely a tool, not a service provider.
Nope.
They filed a motion to dismiss, arguing that the user was fully entitled to represent herself, and she simply chose to use a piece of software to do it. They argue the chatbot has no intent, it is not a legal person, and crucially, it exercises no independent legal judgment. The responsibility, they argue, belongs entirely to the human who clicked file.
What's fascinating here is, sorry, I'm stealing your line, but look at the complete inversion of logic depending on which branch of government you are dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
In the Chicago federal court, OpenAI is using its lack of a professional credential as its primary shield. They're saying, we can't be sued for malpractice because we aren't a credentialed lawyer. We're just a hammer, just a tool. Meanwhile, over in Washington, the GUARD Act is demanding that chatbots explicitly wear that lack of credential as a mandatory neon warning label.
What's fascinating here, and you used it well, by the way, is that Congress says, you must constantly remind people you aren't a lawyer to prevent harm, and OpenAI is in court saying, obviously we aren't a lawyer, that's why you can't sue us for the harm.
It's crazy.
It's a dizzying legal tightrope. But the financial risks aren't just limited to individual $300,000 lawsuits. We have to look at the massive political risks playing out in New Mexico, where the numbers get astronomically higher.
Yeah, the bench trial in Santa Fe between the state of New Mexico and Meta. Now, strictly speaking, this is a social media design case, but the implications for AI regulation are massive.
Very much so.
A jury already hit Meta with a penalty under the state's Unfair Practices Act. But now, in the remedies phase, the state is demanding a mental health abatement fund of $3.7 billion. Let's just pause on that number, $3.7 billion.
That's a staggering figure.
For context, the entire state budget of New Mexico is only about $10 billion. They are asking one tech company to fund an abatement program equal to a third of the state's entire annual expenditure. Plus, they want the company to build age verification and limited engagement features. And Meta's response to this multi-billion dollar demand, they are threatening to simply pull Facebook and Instagram out of New Mexico entirely.
And that is the ultimate political risk for legislators. Lawmakers choose unfunded mandates over direct appropriations because, well, it looks free to the taxpayer.
Right.
But if you create these massive unfunded mandates, or if you try to extract multi-billion dollar penalties to fund your state programs, you might push major platforms to a mathematical breaking point. A company will run the cost-benefit analysis and decide that operating in your jurisdiction is simply a net loss.
Yeah, it's just math at that point.
Exactly. The risk for legislators is that in their zeal to regulate, they might accidentally cause major tech infrastructure to completely abandon their citizens.
And you can see the judiciary trying to avoid stepping on that landmine. The federal judge in that New Mexico case, Chief Judge Brian Beachide, he explicitly warned both sides. He said he will not overreach and he absolutely will not write platform policy from the bench. He knows that's a legislative job.
Judges don't want to be engineers.
Exactly. But while federal judges are taking this highly cautious, hands-off approach, state legislators clearly are not. They are growing incredibly impatient. They aren't waiting for Washington to figure out the funding loopholes, and they aren't waiting for the courts. They're taking matters into their own hands, and in some cases, they are literally bringing out a stopwatch.
The state level is where the most aggressive, prescriptive laboratories for AI regulation are operating right now. Look at Colorado. Governor Jared Polis currently has three different AI bills sitting on his desk, tackling this from multiple angles.
Three of them.
Yeah. There is one for consumer chatbots, one for health insurance coverage decisions, and one specifically restricting AI in psychotherapy.
That psychotherapy bill, House Bill 1195, it draws a fascinating hard line in the sand. It requires strict human clinician review before an AI can offer any treatment recommendations. Mechanistically, it is basically outlawing the concept of a fully autonomous AI therapist.
It places the licensed human professional firmly at the center of the loop. If that bill is signed, the clinician review requirement becomes the absolute compliance anchor for any health tech company operating in Colorado.
Which shifts the liability.
Exactly. From a liability standpoint, it means the human doctor assumes the malpractice risk, not the software. It's a very clear assignment of responsibility.
So Colorado is setting the standard for human oversight. But Georgia is setting the standard for sheer, unrelenting engineering specifications. Governor Brian Kemp just signed Senate Bill 540 into law.
The specifics of SB 540 are where all our abstract philosophical debates about AI suddenly crash into hard, undeniable reality. The law requires an AI to disclose that it is a machine at the start of a chat. But it goes further.
Much further.
It requires that disclosure to be repeated every 3 hours. And if the system knows the user is a minor, it must repeat the disclosure every single hour.
Here's where it gets really interesting. For years, we've had these deep philosophical conversations about AI consciousness, the Turing test, and the psychological fear that users will be tricked into falling in love with bots or forgetting they are talking to a server rack.
Right, the sci-fi stuff.
Yeah. And the Georgia legislature listened to all of that existential dread, nodded, and essentially said, great, we are turning that philosophical anxiety into a literal ticking engineering spec.
It relies on the psychological theory that a user deep in a long emotional conversation will eventually lose track of reality. The state is mandating a recurring reality check, but the politics behind this Georgia law are just as vital to understand as the text.
How so?
Well, Georgia is a Republican state, passing this with broad bipartisan margins, and it was signed by a Republican governor. They did this right at a moment when the White House is actively pressing states to back off and leave AI regulation to the federal government.
So the usual partisan gridlock just isn't applying to AI regulation at the state level?
Not at all.
But for the companies actually building this tech, there is a detail in the Georgia law that is absolutely terrifying. The legislature included no carve-outs. None.
That is the critical point. They did not exempt the massive platforms based on revenue or user count. Google, Meta, OpenAI, they all have to comply alongside everyone else. And this fundamentally alters the business landscape, specifically the gap between smaller AI startups and massive large platform operators.
This is the core issue with unfunded mandates. If you are a trillion-dollar monopoly, an unfunded mandate is annoying, sure. But you have armies of engineers, limitless server space, and floors of lawyers.
It's a rounding error for them.
Exactly. You can bill a 3-hour timer, and you can buy a zero-knowledge age verification system. But what if you are a bootstrap startup working out of a garage?
If you are a founder with a small team, an unfunded mandate without a big tech carve-out is an existential threat. You are suddenly required to find the cash to build the exact same compliance architecture. The identity verification, the crisis escalation teams, the recurring disclosure systems. As a trillion-dollar company.
That's impossible.
The cost of simply entering the market just skyrocketed. It changes AI from a software play into a heavy infrastructure play.
So Washington is dragging its feet, the states are writing hyper-specific technical specs, and nobody is offering any funding. And just to add another layer of pressure, there's a global deadline looming over all of this. Let's look at Brussels and the European Commission's AI Act.
The European Union's comprehensive AI law is moving into its next phase, specifically Article 50. This is the transparency provision. It requires providers of conversational AI to make it explicitly clear that a user is interacting with a machine. And unlike the pending GUARD Act in the US, this isn't a proposal waiting for a cost score. It takes effect in August 2026.
August 2026. I mean, that is right around the corner. So what does this all mean? We have a wave of unfunded mandates, a patchwork of state laws with ticking clocks, and a firm European deadline. If you are a founder or an investor or just someone trying to understand how this tech survives, what is the practical survival guide here? Because frankly, if I'm a founder, I'm looking at this and thinking I have to build 50 different timers for 50 different states.
No, you don't build 50 timers, but you do have to be incredibly strategic. If we synthesize the movement across all these jurisdictions, a clear methodology emerges for founders. First, you must price the compliance build right now.
Don't wait.
Do not wait for these bills to hit floor votes. Age verification, recurring disclosures, and crisis protocols are the new cost of doing business. If you aren't factoring those into your runway today, you will go bankrupt trying to build them later.
Okay, so I priced the build. But how do I actually engineer for a fragmented map? Do I just adopt the strictest law everywhere?
Yes, that is step two. Treat the Georgia 3-hour timer as your exact engineering spec globally. If you operate in Georgia, and practically every internet business does, that timer is no longer a localized suggestion. It is the literal specification you must code into your core product.
That makes sense.
It is vastly cheaper to maintain one strict universal compliance architecture than to build geographic geofencing that changes how the bot behaves based on state lines.
Right. Geofencing just introduces a whole new layer of expensive engineering. So we price it now and we build to the Georgia standard.
Yeah.
What about the courtroom risk? How do we avoid the Nippon Life scenario where I get sued for $300,000 because my bot hallucinated a legal case?
That brings us to step three. Treat your terms of service disclaimers as literal litigation surfaces. As we saw with OpenAI in Chicago, stating clearly that your bot is a tool and not a credentialed professional isn't just legal boilerplate anymore. It is a load-bearing defense in federal court. Your disclaimers are your armor.
And finally, the clock. We have to beat Brussels.
Exactly. Build to the European deadline, August 2026. Because Europe operates as a massive economic bloc, and because their deadline arrives first, Article 50 sets the global baseline for any company operating internationally. If you meet the European transparency standard by August, you are largely preparing your architecture for whatever Washington eventually passes.
It is a daunting reality. Price it now, adopt the strictest timer, lawyer up your terms, and race to beat the European clock.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, a global consensus has essentially been reached. The AI architecture of the future is agreed upon. Everyone wants the machine to loudly disclose what it is. Everyone wants to verify who is a child. Everyone demands crisis protocols for self-harm. And everyone agrees a human must stay in the loop for clinical decisions. The configuration is settled.
The architecture settled, but the statutes have been written so that absolutely everyone pays for it, except the government's writing the rules. They are forcing a massive, hyper-expensive restructuring of the internet and leaving the check on the table for founders and users to figure out.
Which is a heavy burden.
It is. Which leaves us with a final, lingering question for you to think about as you watch this tech evolve. We've seen how wildly expensive these unfunded mandates are to build, from zero-knowledge identity databases to human escalation teams. We've seen how a bootstrap startup in a garage has to meet the exact same multi-million-dollar compliance burden as a trillion-dollar monopoly. If only the absolute biggest tech giants have the capital to afford the sheer cost of this compliance. Do these safety laws accidentally hand them a permanent monopoly? Are we actually regulating big tech, or, by making the entry cost so impossibly high, are we just outlawing their future competition?
That's the billion-dollar question.
It really is. It's something to mull over as we watch these bills become law. Keep questioning the information around you, and we will catch you next time for another Deep Dive.